off with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You're no saint. You got a free cab, you got a free room, someone who'll listen to your boring stories. I mean, didn't you notice on the plane when you started talking, eventually I started reading the vomit bag?
I'm getting drunk on a plane.
Buying drinks for everybody but the pilot, it's a party. Got the 737 rocking like a G6. Stewardess is some sexy leaning, pouring coke and whiskey. Told her about my condition, got a little mile high flight attention. It's Mardi Gras up in the clouds. I'm up so high, I may never come down. I'll try anything to drown out the pain. They all know why I'm getting drunk on a plane.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, Captain Dennis, navigating the latest aviation news and information.
I'm drunk on a plane.
Well, your days may be limited in that regard because the FAA is cracking down on people drinking on the aircraft. Not just the pilots. That's already been well established that they frown quite a bit on that. And, you know, they've definitely cracked down on the commercial carriers with all the fights and things, and figuring that was a precursor to a lot of those incidents. And there's, you know, all the commercial carriers have definitely kind of put the kibosh on some of the drinking to a certain extent, or at least put more limits in place. But now it's filtering down to GA. Is that right, Dennis?
That's right. I mean, when you get on a commercial flight, the flight attendant's there to greet you. But it's not because she's being friendly and nice and welcoming you aboard their wonderful aircraft. I mean, they are.
She's trying to see if she smells any booze
exactly
on your breath.
They're checking. I mean, that's why they talk and greet everybody, because they want to know. They can get a pretty good idea if you're visibly intoxicated, because the regulations.
Yeah.
Well, the regulations do say you're not allowed to take a visibly intoxicated passenger on board the aircraft.
Right.
So that is one way that they do assess that.
Mm-hmm.
In the GA world, I mean, we as pilots have the same restrictions, but they're basically enhancing this policy and making it clear, especially towards the charter companies, the companies that are flying 91K or 135, that they need to train their pilots to spot these drunk passengers before the changes go in effect at the end of May 27. We have another year, so you can milk it.
Yeah. So just drink up until then, I guess. No,
but
that's not.
Apparently, they think it's a safety risk, because in many of these cases, the passenger could be placed in proximity to the aircraft controls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're flying on a Pilatus or a single seat jet, how many people wouldn't want to ride up in the empty co-pilot seat, right? And if you're drunk on that plane, you know, you might
do
something.
I can do
dumb.
This looks easy.
Here, let's do a barrel roll.
Here, hold my beer. And
there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, obviously a lot of that is common sense, but I don't know. I am a little conflicted, I will say.
Common sense isn't as common as we would hope.
Well, that's true. But I mean, you know, you got to take precautions to keep, you know, drunk people away from the controls for sure. But I don't know. I guess it depends on the level of drunkenness. If they're like borderline passed out and they get on the plane and they go fall asleep, good on them. You know what I mean?
But they might wake up.
Well, they might wake up, but that's what you have restraints for. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to take away the fun aspects of being able to, for instance, have Dennis come pick me up in Orlando, fly me down to Key West and get a pop or two, and then we hop back on the plane and go home. You know, and I may feel a little loopy. You know, especially when you add the altitude to the mix. But I mean,
So that's your excuse. We're going to call it altitude now. Okay.
Yeah, of course. It does have an effect. I mean, you know, what are they telling the pilots to look out for? What is the threshold? You can't turn them into police. They have to guess or what?
That's largely it. Just being aware, basically being able to identify somebody that's visibly intoxicated.
Right.
So is this maybe an excuse to buy a breathalyzer now to have along with my little scale to weigh my passengers and their gear as we get on the plane?
Hope not. Because I wouldn't like that.
Could turn into an in-flight game. Who can blow higher?
Okay, that sounds weird, but I might just leave that one lie, Dennis.
No, I can just see you and CJ in the back doing shots and seeing who can make the tilt, see if I can make it all, get all nines on this thing.
Uh-huh. Well, there's that. But I don't know. I mean, you know, that's the problem. It starts to get into a subjective area because some people are fine with having a drink or two and they're fine. Then there's other people that drink and they turn into animals and monsters. And, you know, how to differentiate the part where you're not taking away the fun aspects of being able to go do that within reason. I mean, you know, like I said, you know, if say you flew down to Key West and the pilot's the designated pilot, okay, keep them away from any controls and stuff. But I mean, that's why people go there, is to go walk up and down, Duval Street and, you know, have a pop or two. And, you know, you don't want to get to the point where they're going to be sick or out of control, of course. But, you know, what level is acceptable and what level is not? What they're visibly acting weird, maybe? Yeah, of course, that would be a red flag. But, you know, if you start taking it to the level that you have to have a breathalyzer, and if this person goes to show that they have a alcohol content over this level, now the pilot's in trouble because he didn't check them. You know, that's where I'm getting at. That's where you get into this area where, okay, how are we going to police this? And what, you know, level of liability is the pilot going to take on just because a passenger, you know, had a pop or two out at a destination that he was being chartered to? What do you think, Dennis?
I doubt that the FAA is going to be sitting there, you know, at Key West watching people get on and go, oh, that guy was drunk and you let him on your plane.
Yeah.
But I think if an incident were to happen,
yes,
and, you know, you had to declare an emergency or something, it might come back to bite you.
Yeah. So, why didn't you nip this in the bud when you could have?
Yeah.
And we had told you to be on the lookout for this, and you're going to have to be able to defend your actions in that regard. I get it. I get it, I guess, from there. But in that case scenario, he got on the plane. He looked normal. I didn't know he had, you know, five tequila shots. He looked fine. Got in, strapped up.
Had five right listened. In the Uber on the way over, and then
right.
They kicked in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying.
That's the whole point. Yeah. They want to ensure that the PIC recognizes the signs of impairment and knows how to deal with unpredictable behavior of lit customers.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, in a charter flight on a jet and stuff, I mean, is there any kind of like protection from passengers getting up like you would in a commercial carrier? There's no
door.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you got to put up some kind of drunk gate.
Well, let's not start that now, because, you know, they've got two doors now on all the new airliners. You know, you've got the main door and then the supplemental barriers so that the pilot can come out of the cockpit and somebody can't rush it during the moment that door is open.
Right.
Let's hope we don't have to do that with our GA airplanes.
Well, yeah, you don't want to. That'd be more aggravation, too. So that's not a solution. I'm just trying to come up with some middle ground. I mean, maybe it just, as long as they keep it up from the level of let's not make it totally illegal, but highly advisable in some way, like we encourage it some way without turning it into a big legal problem. You know what I mean?
Right.
Where you create liability for the pilot. I think that's where it goes too far.
Many of these charter airlines, or not airlines, but these charter companies have got catered galleys. There's you know, mini bar with beer and booze. So, you know, they may not have been drunk getting on, but they sure got there. Well, they were drunk on a plane, if we can quote our song.
And once again, when you're flying like that, actually the effects are exacerbated a bit when you're at altitude.
So you're cheaper drunk.
That's right. You can look at it that way, because going up in the plane, it'll get you there faster when you have that tequila shot.
In more ways than one.
Yes. I guess we'll have to navigate that accordingly and take it under advisement. More coming up on Just Plane Radio. I need a drink.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.